Unit 6. Focus 1. Language Skills. Section 1. Model Passage Reading. An Act of Kindness.
Max Cale fidgeted nervously with his fingertips as he sat patiently in the doctor's office. The cold gray paint on the wall was beginning to peel, and a few out-of-date posters were draped onto the walls. A pungent sting of bleach filled his nostrils with each deep breath he sucked in. He stared at the doorway so hard he almost thought he could see the other side of the large wooden door. The latch clicked slowly as Dr. William Baker entered. His stance was somber and stiff. He peered down at his clipboard in perfectly doctor way, occasionally peering over top to see if Max was still staring at him. It was in the way he stood there that Max already knew the answer, and the only thing that he needed to know now was how long. "I've done many tests, Mr. Cale, and we have come to the conclusion that it is apparent we can't remove the tumor." The words dropped out his mouth like lead weights. "We will do everything to make sure you are comfortable during this time." He paused, waiting for Max to ask the common question. "So, how long, Doctor? A month? A week?" Max couldn't believe he was speaking these words at the ripe age of 37. 3 months, maybe four. I've even seen as much as a year in cases like yours." Dr. Baker began to make a hasty exit after dropping the bomb. Max left the office slowly, creeping toward the exit. All he could think about was that he hadn't begun to live his life. As he got into his car and pulled his belt across his lap like he had done hundreds of times before, he realized that it didn't matter anymore. Nothing really did. This year was going to be the last one that he had, and nothing was going to change it. It was at that moment he hammered his brakes. The car squealed to a halt, laying a small layer of melted rubber on the asphalt. He climbed out of his car and began sobbing uncontrollably. A woman behind him climbed out to see whether she hit the man, or what was going on. She found his emotional outburst very alarming and was very concerned. Her first instinct was to reach out to him, but her fear caught out and sent her scampering back to the confines of her metal box. Another man climbed out of a shiny black SUV, and he did the unthinkable. He walked over and asked the man what was wrong. Max stopped sobbing and looked up to see this stranger standing over him, someone that he never knew or would never have met hadn't it been for this day.
"My name is Max Cale, and I only have 3 months to live, and I'm 37 years old." Max slipped the words between sniffles and snorts.
The man stood in awe of this proclamation, and a tear began rolling off his cheek. The man held his hand and said,
"My name is John Harker, and I'm glad I stopped to help you."
Max stood up with the helping hand of the stranger, and he could see the man had shed a tear for him.
"What can I do to help you, Max?"
The kind words were warm and inviting. Max felt something he had never felt before. He thought about the words and then replied,
"Just remember my name, and that you're a good man for taking the time out of your day to help a stranger."
Max again felt tears streaming across his cheeks, but this time it was different. He felt warmth. It was then that John pulled out a checkbook. I wrote Max's name across it and left the amount filled blank. He looked up at Max and asked this time another question.
"I'm giving you a gift you don't ever have to pay back. Name anything you want and I will grant it to you."
He stood poised with his mighty pen in hand. Max again was at a loss for words. His lip trembled as all the emotions washed over him like a tidal wave. "I just want to be remembered, but no amount of money can do that." Max gently pushed the pen and the checkbook away from the man. John then wrote out the amount of $1,000 and tore it off. Max watched as the man placed the check in the palm of his hand. "Then, Max, you have your wish, because I will never forget you, and this check can be donated to any charity in your name, so your name will live on." At that moment, several onlookers started to gather, and one by one, they started to pull out their wallets and purses. Max stood there frozen like a statue as the group of people continued to place their donations into his hand. Everyone held his hand and introduced themselves and proclaimed they would never forget him either. "We're all made of flesh and blood. We can all love, laugh, and grieve. Why can't we hold one another's hand? Don't forget that it's not too late."
New words.
Fidget.
Peel.
Drape.
Pungent.
Sting.
Bleach.
Nostril.
Suck.
Latch.
Click.
Stance.
Somber.
Peer.
Clipboard.
Conclusion.
Ripe.
Hasty.
Bomb.
Lap.
Break.
Squeal.
Layer.
Asphalt.
Outburst.
Alarming.
Scamper.
Confine.
Snort.
Grant.
Poised.
Mighty.
Gently.
Donate.
Charity.
Wallet.
Grieve.
Proper nouns.
Max Cale.
William Baker.
John Harker.
SUV.
Section 2. Listening and Speaking. Listening.
1. Listen to a conversation on the text only once, and then fill in the blanks according to what you've just heard.
Max, we have come to the conclusion that it is apparent we can't remove the tumor. So, how long can I live, Doctor? 3 months, maybe 4. I have even seen as much as a year in cases like yours.
A few minutes later...
Hi, friend. What's wrong with you? Why are you sobbing so uncontrollably? The doctor just told me that I only had 3 months to live. I'm sorry to hear that. What can I do to help you? Just remember my name. I'm giving you a gift you don't ever have to pay back. Name anything you want, and I will grant it to you. I just want to be remembered, and nothing can make that possible. Take this check. You can donate this check to any charity in your name, so your name will live on. Thank you for your kindness. By the way, I will never forget you.
2. Listen to the first part of an English song twice, and then put the following in the correct order, according to what you've just heard.
There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. And this place is much brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. Thank you. a love that cannot lie. Love is strong, it only cares for joy, forgiving. If we try, we shall see, in this bliss we cannot feel. There are dreams, we stop existing and start living. There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. And this place is much brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. In this place, you feel there's no hurt or sorrow. There are ways to get there if you care enough for the living. Make a little space, make a better place. Heal the world, make it a better place. For you and for me and the entire human race. There are people dying, if you care enough for the living. Make a better place for you and for me. A love that cannot lie. Love is strong, it only cares for joy, forgiving. If we try, we shall see, in this bliss we cannot feel. There are dreams, stop existing and start living. Then it feels that always love's enough for us growing.
Listen to a passage three times and fill in the blanks.
The Kindness Project is a worldwide movement to share our children or other loved ones with those who never had the honor to meet them. Let me tell you why I'm so excited about this project. My daughter Cheyenne died in July of 1994. It was the worst day of my life. I never imagined myself laughing or ever experiencing joy again. I began to seek out ways to keep Cheyenne's memory alive to my family and to the rest of the world. I wanted to create a legacy. I wanted people to know that she existed, and more importantly, I wanted to help change the lives of others because of her presence on this earth. So I set out on various missions of random kindness. On a daily basis, I looked for opportunities to reach out and do something unexpected and unusually kind for someone else. Most often, strangers were the recipients of these good deeds. I began to feel a sense of peace in knowing that Cheyenne was the reason for my enlightenment. The Kindness Project blossomed out of the extraordinary experiences I had while doing things for others. Because truly miraculous things happen to our spirit when we reach out to help others, I sought a way to share that movement with others. It is our hope that through the Kindness Project, we can make incredible transformations within our communities, in our families, and in ourselves. Just imagine if every person touched by death would participate in helping to transform the world into a gentler and more selfless world. What an impact this would have on so many levels. The Kindness Project is a worldwide movement to share our children or other loved ones with those who never had the honor to meet them. Let me tell you why I'm so excited about this project. My daughter Cheyenne died in July of 1994. It was the worst day of my life. I never imagined myself laughing or ever experiencing joy again. I began to seek out ways to keep Cheyenne's memory alive to my family and to the rest of the world. I wanted to create a legacy. I wanted people to know that she existed, and more importantly, I wanted to help change the lives of others because of her presence on this earth. So I set out on various missions of random kindness. On a daily basis, I looked for opportunities to reach out and do something unexpected and unusually kind for someone else. Most often, strangers were the recipients of these good deeds. I began to feel a sense of peace in knowing that Cheyenne was the reason for my enlightenment. The Kindness Project blossomed out of the extraordinary experiences I had while doing things for others. Because truly miraculous things happen to our spirit when we reach out to help others, I sought a way to share that movement with others. It is our hope that through the Kindness Project, we can make incredible transformations within our communities, in our families, and in ourselves. Just imagine if every person touched by death would participate in helping to transform the world into a gentler and more selfless world. What an impact this would have on so many levels. The Kindness Project is a worldwide movement to share our children or other loved ones with those who never had the honor to meet them. Let me tell you why I'm so excited about this project. My daughter Cheyenne died in July of 1994. It was the worst day of my life. I never imagined myself laughing or ever experiencing joy again. I began to seek out ways to keep Cheyenne's memory alive to my family and to the rest of the world. I wanted to create a legacy. I wanted people to know that she existed, and more importantly, I wanted to help change the lives of others because of her presence on this earth. So I set out on various missions of random kindness. On a daily basis, I looked for opportunities to reach out and do something unexpected and unusually kind for someone else. Most often, strangers were the recipients of these good deeds. I began to feel a sense of peace in knowing that Cheyenne was the reason for my enlightenment. The Kindness Project blossomed out of the extraordinary experiences I had while doing things for others. Because truly miraculous things happen to our spirit when we reach out to help others, I sought a way to share that movement with others. It is our hope that through the Kindness Project, we can make incredible transformations within our communities, in our families, and in ourselves. Just imagine if every person touched by death would participate in helping to transform the world into a gentler and more selfless world. What an impact this would have on so many levels.
Speaking. Reference answer.
I'm worried about Zhang Ming.
What's wrong with him?
His hometown was struck by the big earthquake.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Was anybody hurt in his family?
Luckily, no, but their house collapsed.
I think we should try our best to help him. Shall we donate some money to him?
Well, money may be necessary, but showing our love and concern is also important.
You're right. Let's go and tell him that we're ready to give him a hand anytime.
Focus 2. Language Use. Section 1. Practical Reading. Freeganism.
What is freeganism? In most developed countries, hygiene and safety standards are so high that many foods remain safely eatable long after their use by or best before dates. This fact, and the concerns of many people about unnecessary waste and the consequent negative effect on the environment, led to the coming of freeganism in 2003. Freeganism is the philosophy of minimizing impact on the environment by consuming food that has been thrown away. It is usually associated with a political philosophy rather than dietary behavior, intending to make a strong anti-consumerism statement. A freegan, the name given to those who practice this philosophy, believes capitalism is a system linked directly to exploitation in its reduction of all things to economic terms. They believe that mass production under capitalism is a system fundamentally destructive to the earth, animals, and human beings. Freegans therefore collect and consume leftover food from supermarkets and bakeries, food that would otherwise have been taken to a garbage site. However, at the radical end of freeganism are some rather extreme practices, where freegans hang out in restaurants to consume leftover food from plates and tables used by other diners. Freegans who engage in this practice are also alternatively described as plate scrappers or table divers. Some freegans also extend their commitment of non-participation to include transportation via train hopping, hitchhiking, walking, skating, and biking, and housing via establishing communities to fix up and live in abandoned buildings, also known as squatting. Many freegans are part of communities of like-minded people who collect resources together and share with others. Background. The term freegan is derived from a blend of the words free and vegan, and many of the early supporters of freeganism are vegetarian or vegan. The word has also been used to describe vegans who will eat non-vegan food because it is free, i.e., it would otherwise have been thrown away. One man's garbage. Freegans find treasures in a dumpster-diving lifestyle that challenges consumerism. There's a dumpster in Sacramento with delicious sweet rolls inside. Rich, soft, and a bit hard to find amongst all the bakery garbage. It's a good dessert to cap off a successful night of dumpster diving for Tim Jones. Jones actually takes two, eating them as he rides away on his bike, which is pulling a trailer loaded with groceries he's grabbed from another dumpster. Jones is a freegan and is quite proud of this fact. Freeganism is rooted in a political philosophy that condemns overconsumption and waste in American society. When people are starving around the world, Americans are throwing away perfectly good food, says David, 20, another Sacramento freegan. Freegans come from a larger community of young, do-it-yourself people. Many are anarchists, opposing all forms of government and supporting ideals such as individual freedom and cooperation. Above all, they hate the American-style consumerism they call destructive. If freegans buy anything, they buy vegan. Still, to them, it's okay to eat non-vegan food. A few will even eat meat if it's dumpstered, left on somebody's plate, or given away by a restaurant. If a cow's going to suffer for its milk, then I'd rather have it put to use than not, David says. Simply put, freegans reduce trash by eating it, though they aren't the only dumpster divers out there. And while vegans believe animal products cause animal misery and environmental ruin, especially with modern mass production techniques, freegans even worry about the harm of buying vegan. Should I use what otherwise would go to waste, Jones says, or should I go into a store and pay $6 for this organic vegan product that's in all the plastic packaging, and then someone's going to use that $6 to go buy McDonald's or something? His thinking shows how freegans view the extreme interconnectedness of things, like that of a hunk of tofu, for example, to the gas that's used and the pollution that's created by transporting it to a store. On one recent outing, Jones jumps in a grocery store's dumpster. It doesn't look too tasty at first. A random piece of fried chicken, some moldy tortillas, and unidentifiable bags. Eventually, Jones digs up some garlic bread, lettuce, peppers, and mushrooms, some wrapped, some not. Sure, the goods have dents and blemishes, the kind of produce people inside the store put aside, and some of the food has passed its sell-by date. But Jones and the others say they've never gotten sick from dumpstered food, and washed and prepared, it will make for a full meal, not just for Jones and his friends, but also for dozens of homeless people who they cook for regularly. No trouble this night, but dumpstering is not without risks. Police consider it illegal trespassing, and sometimes people from the stores chase down the divers or call authorities. But Freegans already have chosen, in a way, to be outlaws from mainstream society. They reject capitalism and try to live outside it, some avoiding money altogether. They claim that freeganism can minimalize an individual's impact on the earth. Of course, not everyone buys it. In fact, the Center for Consumer Freedom, a food and beverage trade group, disagrees with pretty much all of it. If they really believe that they can eat and feed their bodies without impacting on the environment around them, I think they've probably been smoking something they found in a dumpster, says David Martosko, the center's research director. But as much as they hunt for edible trash, Jones and other freegans realize that it's not the ultimate solution. Dumpster diving only exists because of the system they hate. In the ideal world, Jones says, people would be as self-reliant as possible, making and growing only what they need. That world is not likely to come soon, and freegans know it. When you look at the big picture, you get kind of jaded, Jones says, so I just take it day by day, dumpster by dumpster.
New words.
Hygiene.
Consequent.
Anti-consumerism.
Capitalism.
Fundamentally.
Leftover.
Bakery.
Radical.
Scraper.
Train hopping.
Hitchhike.
Squat.
Like-minded.
Background.
Vegan.
Vegetarian.
Dumpster.
Trailer.
Do-it-yourself.
Anarchist.
Oppose.
Trash.
Ruin.
Organic.
Interconnectedness.
Hunk.
Grocery.
Moldy.
Tortilla.
Garlic.
Lettuce.
Pepper.
Mushroom.
Dent.
Blemish.
Illegal.
Trespass.
Outlaw.
Mainstream.
Reject.
Beverage.
Edible.
Self-reliant.
Jaded.
Proper nouns.
Sacramento.
Tim Jones.
McDonald.
The Center for Consumer Freedom.
David Matosko.